Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Here we are, nearly Christmas, end of the year, and so if you've got your Bibles with you, I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 22, and we'll get to that in a moment, okay? Ezekiel chapter 22. All my life, I have been intrigued by people who see a bigger picture than their peers, than their friends, than their colleagues. People who live out their values, people who exhibit and live out their virtues that other people only aspire to. The problem is that there are very few examples. Many churches and Christian agencies in our land simply give up trying to integrate their faith into the community outside the four walls that they operate in many times, and simply fail to be incarnational. That's a $50 word saying, let's get out to the community. As individuals here today, as Christ followers, we're not immune to this paradigm, this whole idea of incarnation. We too simply give up trying to integrate our faith in our community into our public life. It's too difficult, it's too complicated, it's hard enough just to get through the day-to-day grind without introducing the Jesus paradigm, the Jesus idea into the mix of that day-to-day grind, that life. And so what we do is we make a deal with God. We come to an arrangement. We make an arrangement with God. And we say, I'll go to church when I can. I'll put my kids in Sunday school. I'll try and read my Bible. I'll pray when I can. And I'll lead a moral life. And we make that deal with God. And when we settle for that paradigm, when we settle on that deal, even though we think we're better than the unchurched person or people, we settle for the well at least paradigm. The well at least paradigm. Well, at least I'm better than that person over there. Yeah? At least I'm better than her. At least I'm better than him. So I will have my Sunday faith. I will have my private faith. I will have my Sunday religious leisure activity. But I have given up trying, or I'm not going to attempt to integrate that faith that the preacher talks about, or what I read in my books or in my Bible. I'm not going to try and integrate that faith into my daily life and the people I see outside of a Sunday. When I look at the book of Acts and see how the Holy Spirit worked in the early church, how the Holy Spirit prompted and stretched his people, and in the prompting and in the stretching, we see in the stories of the book of Acts, what do we see? We see surprise and we see miracles happen. And it's not just in their church meetings that those sort of things happen, but it happens in their community. It happens in local government. It happened in military garrisons. It happened in prisons. It happened in businesses. Surprise and miracle followed the early church's ministry, right into their communities, when the people of God opened themselves up to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Some 2,000 years later, when we look at the church in the 21st century, I still think God expects each one of us to follow the prompting and the stretching of the Holy Spirit. We might be more technologically savvy than our first century brothers and sisters. We definitely have more wealth than our first century brothers and sisters, but our mission as the baptized people of God has never changed. Hasn't changed at all. Matthew 28, that's yours, isn't it, Lucas? Yeah. Matthew 28, let me pick up what Jesus says. He says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But the fuller mission the go therefore, is a massive challenge to our 21st century sensibilities many times. Go therefore into your community. Go therefore into your daily life. Go therefore into your secret life. Go therefore into your public life, your work life, your sports life. Go therefore, for us, many times, is a massive challenge. And it's that cold splash of reality that we've been talking about in this particular series. It's that cold splash of reality in the face that if we're only looking to live out that private moral life, if we're only looking to have that religious leisure activity on a Sunday, as we conclude our thankful series, what now? What do we do now? Do we pray? Because we're good for that, aren't we? We can pray. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is a weapon. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down down strongholds. Prayer is a necessity. Prayer is a weapon. Sometimes our prayer is all that we can do, isn't it? Sometimes praying is all we can do. Maybe because of distance or because of the unknown. Prayer sometimes is all we can do. But my point is, we can't allow prayer to be a crutch, to do nothing. As a church, we have been called to fulfill the great command. Jesus gave us a great mission. Go therefore. Go therefore means go therefore, and if you have to stretch, if you have to look for miracles, go therefore means don't let the church's budget dictate the faith of the church. Go therefore means we're going to have to trust God that He will meet our needs when we come up against the new things that He has for us in 2018. Go therefore means once the moral condition of our community has been revealed to us, we must move to action. We can't say, oh well, that's sad, you know, I'll just pray for you. Because through our food bank ministry, in particular, just citing one example, the moral condition of our community has been revealed to us. So let's look at our text. Ecclesiastes. Ezekiel chapter 22. I'm going to pick it up in verse 30. It says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. That word someone in the Hebrew language that this English passage has been translated from is the word ish. I think we might have it up there. No? Okay. It's the word ish. It means human. A human. But in this context that is in Ezekiel, it infers a certain human, a certain person, a constant or a consistent person, a steward. It refers to a champion, a worthy person. The word gap is the word in Hebrew peretz, a space, an emptiness between two places. God Himself says, I looked for someone to fill the gap, to minimize the space, and there was no one to be found. No man, no woman who could stand in the gap. A gap, by definition, represents a place of weakness, perhaps, a place of vulnerability, a place of danger. So today I'm asking you, everyone here in this room, everyone that can hear the sound of my voice, to be the ish. The someone in our text today. That certain person, that worthy person, that champion, that man or that woman who recognizes gap situations and trust God to use them to make a difference, even if it's the smallest difference. It doesn't have to be huge. It can be just small differences. So the question is, are you that person today? Because the reality, God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. That means He's looking at us, New Start Church. He's looking at us as we gather in this community of Manor Lakes, of Wyndham Vale, of the city of Wyndham. And so part of the reason behind why we do the seed offering, as Lucas has explained, is that at the end of the year, we can engage the gaps to raise monetary offerings before God to engage the gaps of 2018. The church is not just us here in this place. We have a philosophy here at New Start, and you've probably heard Lucas and myself and Peter say it many times. We believe New Start that everybody in our community belongs to the church. They just don't know it yet. All right? So that means that there's gaps. Yeah? There are people who are not here tonight that should be here. And if we're going to take our example from Jesus, we have to walk towards the lost. We have to walk towards the unchurched. Jesus ate with the lost. He conversed with the lost. Jesus sat with people who didn't look like you and I. And He shared the good news of God with those people. The kingdom of God had arrived, He told them. Jesus walked towards the Samaritan woman. Jesus walked towards the woman at the well. Jesus walked towards Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus walked towards the woman caught in adultery. Jesus walked towards the demon-possessed man. The reality is, what is sacred is the message, but it's not the method. What is sacred is the message, but not necessarily the method. If the method was sacred, I wouldn't be playing a ukulele in church, right? Just wouldn't happen, because we'd be playing an organ or something like that. What is sacred is the message. So if we believe that everybody belongs to our church, that means there's a whole bunch of people who don't know that yet. There's a whole lot of people who haven't received a personal invitation yet. So that means we have gaps in the methods. We have gaps in fishermen or fisherpersons who would be fishers of souls of the men and women of our community, those who would throw out a net, those who would throw out a line to reach whomever for Jesus, those who would stand in the gap, because the method is not sacred, but our message is what is sacred. So we're talking about a balcony view, and so my view from the balcony, and I want you all to come up to the balcony with me and look down at the view. That is, New Start would engage our community with every method that's at our resource. Well, while we're a small church, we still have resources and methods that we can do. And we can do our best to reach our community. One man said, fear is the absence of faith. Proverbs 29 says, the fear of man, the fear of Ish, brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So that's a game changer right there. We must not be afraid to take our faith into the community. So let me extrapolate my point by taking a bit, talking a bit, about the man Nehemiah. Has anyone ever read about Nehemiah? He's great. Let me just give you a bit of a brief overview so you can be caught up if you haven't read about Nehemiah. So this man Nehemiah was going about his life in the city of Susa. Now today, that would be in modern Iraq. Iran. Susa would be in modern Iran, very close to the Persian Gulf. Nehemiah was a Jew who was born during the Babylonian captivity. He got a great job as he grew up and became an adult. He got a great job in the Persian royal palace, and he's living a great life. The scripture says he was in his local citadel one day, and he sees his brother Hanani with a man from Judah who's traveled up or across from Judah, And they both walk up, his brother and this man walk up to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah asks the question that challenged the course of his whole life. And he said to the man from Judah, "How is Jerusalem?" And here is an important lesson for us all. Because if we're not going to do anything about the answer, then we shouldn't ask the question. Yeah? If we're not going to do anything about the answers that we receive, we shouldn't ask the question. Because the answer that Nehemiah got changed the trajectory of his whole life. Once he heard about the walls of Jerusalem, that they were ruined, not just ruined, but ruined for over 140 years. The temple lay exposed, the people were vulnerable, and Nehemiah felt that he had to do something because a gap had been presented. Because with revelation comes responsibility. Once the moral condition of our community has been revealed to us, we must take action. So let's have a look at the four things that Nehemiah did when he heard about the problems in Jerusalem. Number one, Nehemiah prayed. The Bible says that Nehemiah began to fast and pray. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." God gave this man a strong burden. Nehemiah began to weep for his people and began to cry for their hopelessness. So, from my balcony view, is that we at New Start would be moved. I pray that we at New Start would be moved for our community. As Nehemiah was moved for his community in Jerusalem, that we would stand in the gap for the hopeless, for the needy, that we would engage our community and collaborate with our community to see those vulnerable assisted, to be a voice for the voiceless. The Bible says that Nehemiah prayed from Susa for many months. Number two, Nehemiah began to plan. He planned. Planning is crucial because planning is part of the process. And all of us here, we want the final product, don't we? We like the final product. We want it straight away. The planning side is tough. We're the 2 minute pot noodle generation, aren't we? Everything done, finished, ready, 2 minutes. We want our final product. But what we don't want and what we don't like is the process. I attend a lot of pastoral and leadership meetings and gatherings throughout the months. And many times are held in great big old churches, yeah? And I think to myself, wow, what I wouldn't give for this church building, yeah? And then that cold splash of reality hits me in the face and I'm brought back to the real world and I realize it took a long time to establish that facility or this facility. A lot of heartaches, a lot of prayers, a lot of planning. Nehemiah planned. He didn't just expect it to happen for him. He strategized, he systematized and approached the issue with a process. Number three, Nehemiah proceeded. In other words, now's the time to go. Now is the time to act. It's time to move, it's time to go from Susa to Jerusalem, which is 1,249 kilometres, give or take 5 kilometres, I don't know. An opportunity that presented itself as a sacrifice, it was time to move. And if we're going to do something for God here in Manor Lakes, then many opportunities will present themselves as a sacrifice. To those that are praying and to those that are planning, that's the next step. Praying, planning, process. Part of the vision is participating sacrificially. We do this every year, around the end of the year, participating sacrificially in the 2018 seed offering. Another part of participating is being open to new directions that God is calling us to in 2018 as well. Because a gap has been presented. Because with revelation comes responsibility, and once the problem has been revealed to us, we must move to action. Number four, Nehemiah persuaded. Whenever you decide to stand in the gap, there is always going to be opposition. There will be resistance, there will be refusal to accept your position or even your methods. The moment you decide to stand in the gap, there will be a resistance. But we have a mandate tonight from Jesus himself. Go therefore, and I will be with you, he says, to the end of the age. We have a message to deliver to this community in 2018. But who will resist? But that will be resisted in method. But we need people to stand in that gap. Because the method equates to sacrifice. It equates to action. Prayer, plan, proceed, persuade. You can do these things by involving yourself, if you haven't already, in the seed offering. There are still some envelopes there, so if you haven't involved yourself in that, you can involve yourself in the gap by participating in the seed offering. The other thing that is a standout in this story is Nehemiah is neither a prophet nor a priest. He's not a king. What he is just a regular person. He works a regular job. He goes about his life in a very normal way. What made him special is that he saw a need. He prayed, he planned, he proceeded, and he persuaded. He got involved. Bible says he's just a regular bloke who got involved in his community. Nehemiah realized and released his resources into the gap. Into the gap of his city, he released resources into the gaps of his community, and he engaged the problem. Because the question that Nehemiah asked is relevant today. He asked, how is Jerusalem? What is relevant? What's the relevant question for us today? How is Manor Lakes? How is Werribee? How is Wyndham Vale? How is Hoppers Crossing? How is Tarnit? How is our neighbour? That question's relevant for us today. Regardless of where you live or what community that you're a part of or where you work, there's gaps everywhere. One man said these words. He says, courage is an inner resolution to go forward despite obstacles. Cowardness is submissive surrender to circumstances. Courage breeds creativity. Cowardness represses fear and is mastered by it. Cowardness asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it political? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when we must take a position that is neither safe nor political nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. I'm not here to twist your arm up your back and make you give more into the seed offering. That's happened now. But if you haven't given, I do encourage you to give. I'm not here to twist your arm up the back. But I'm here to expose you to the possibilities that New Start Church has in 2018. I'm inviting you to partner and share your gifts in 2018 because we all have gifts. We all have resources. So let me bring you up to the balcony view and let's look ahead at 2018. Steve, can you turn the recording off? Glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Holy Spirit. Amen.